Hi, this is Pastor Austin from Connection Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to know more about our services, you can go to connectionnyc.com or check us out at connectionnyc on Instagram. Hope you enjoy it and hope to see you soon. We have been going through a series called Teaching, and last week we took a bit of a break from it to do an Easter service sermon. But this week we are back to the teaching series and we are wrapping things up with that series, and today's sermon is titled Discipleship, Why? Discipleship, Why? So if you remember, a couple of weeks ago we did Evangelism, Why? And basically walked through what we had said evangelism was and why it was important to do that. And this week we will be doing the same thing with discipleship. So if you remember, a handful of weeks ago we spoke on discipleship. We said that discipleship required of us to share the gospel, live the gospel, and endure for the gospel. I know you guys remembered all those points, that you have them written down, but I just thought I would run through them for you once more just to remind you. And today we're going to talk a little bit about why we do these things. We'll talk a little more about discipleship and what it is and how it fits into the vision and the mission of our church, and also why we have been called to disciple. So if you would, turn in your Bibles or swipe in your Bibles to James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. And also, if you guys have gone to connection.family and you have the lyrics pulled up, if you scroll to the bottom, the scripture should be there. And you can follow along there. You can follow along in your own version, in your own physical Bible, whatever you prefer. So starting in James chapter 1, verse 19, James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So we see in Scripture from James that discipleship is actually an intentional decision. Discipleship is not going to happen accidentally. It won't happen just as we go about our lives. We'll look around and go, oops, I'm accidentally doing discipleship. It's a very intentional decision. And I brought some pictures here. If you guys have seen my Instagram story, or if you want to go see, now you can see these a little more closely. But we went on a road trip this past week. Immediately after Easter Sunday, we left church into a packed vehicle and we started driving toward Texas to make it as far as we could. And we didn't make it as far as we would have liked to on any of the days. We had to end up stopping earlier than we had planned. Typically, I would drive most of the way and Haley would relieve me as I get tired. But as you know, my license is still restricted. And get this, it will be unrestricted tomorrow. So it was perfectly in time for us to have to do this road trip. But I am excited. Thank you, Charity. I will take that hand clap. I'm pumped. Listen, we do high-low at the beginning of every service, or at the beginning of every kind of group huddle that we have before service. That will be my high next week. I'm going to just go ahead and give you the heads up. Having an unrestricted license will be my high. But on this road trip, I've been wanting to buy one of these like mini Polaroid cameras for a while, just because I think they're fun. And on the road trip, my sister needed an extra one for her wedding. One of the things that she was doing, in addition to the guest book, was asking people to take these types of pictures and hang them on a clothespin. It was really cool. But we took some extra pictures on the road trip. And what I really like about these Polaroid pictures, if you guys want to look at them later, you can. Or like I said, they're spread out and on my Instagram if you want to look at the story. What I like about these pictures is they have to be very intentionally taken, because there's a limited amount of film that is not exactly cheap. And there's no correction. After you snap the shot, that's just the shot you have. Whatever you got in the picture is what you got. Now, fortunately, I was pretty lucky, and most of these turned out exactly the way that I wanted them to turn out. There were a few where I was like, oh, I wish that was kind of moved over a little bit, or I wish I would have caught that better with better lighting. But for the most part, they turned out pretty well. But this is not like typically when I take pictures with my digital camera, right? I'm just like, I just take a ton, back to back to back to back, right? And just hopefully somewhere in there I catch what I should be taking a picture of in the way that I want it to be taken. And that's really a lot like culture, right? Like a lot of what we engage is at this surface level where we're just kind of tapping, you know, capture over and over and over and over again until we happen to land into a spot that benefits us. It's not a lot of intentional decision making happening, and because of technology and because of the way things are set, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of friends on social media. We get hundreds and hundreds of views on our things, and maybe even people will choose to engage in some way, but how many of those conversations are being intentional? How many of those relationships are being built behind a specific purpose to get to a specific point? My point being this, when we have our digital camera, we might necessarily have an idea in mind of where we want to get, but we don't have to be that intentional to get there, right? Because if we mess up, we can just crop the picture later, right? If we don't get it exactly the way, maybe we can hit, and even photos are live now, so you can hit the live and like scroll back and scrub until you get exactly what you want and crop it out until you get exactly what you want. And therefore, intentionality on the front end of things has kind of dropped off. But with these pictures, if I didn't decide beforehand, this is exactly what I want the picture to look like, and frame it in the exact way that was in my head that I wanted it to look like, they would not have come out the way that I wanted. Because there is no scrubbing or editing these unless you're going to, you know, take some scissors and cut them up, right? That's how discipleship works. We're not going about our lives and just randomly hitting capture with anyone that we meet, right? When we talked about discipleship, we said evangelism was this foundation, right? Evangelism is this thing where we're going and we're sharing the gospel with everyone that we know so that we can see who connects with it. And when we find somebody that connects with the message of the gospel and we see that it impacts their lives, it is then our call to take it a step further and be intentional. It's our job to have an idea of what Jesus wants us to look like and make sure that we're taking intentional steps to make our lives and that person's life look more like Jesus. We're taking intentional steps on the front end to make our lives look more like the picture of Jesus that he wants to see in our lives. We're not just going about and flippantly making mistake after mistake after mistake. And as Paul said, you know, Jesus' love covers all sin. Does that mean we just continue sinning? Absolutely not. What it means is we go about things in a very intentional manner, discipling one another and living life with one another and enduring for the gospel so that we can make ourselves look more like Jesus. So there's a natural desire in our culture to do whatever feels right in the moment, and a natural reaction to things of this world that just comes about in this very, very unintentional, reactionary way, specifically to challenging things. So if we're not being discipled by one another, we're not making these intentional decisions to be involved in the process of sharing and living the gospel, we're going to be quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to anger, which is the exact opposite of how James calls us to live our life. And why will we be this way? Because it is natural. Because humans are naturally broken, we are naturally affected by sin, and what is natural for man cannot produce righteousness. I'll say that again. What is natural for man cannot produce righteousness. But when we engage the good news of Jesus, when we walk with one another to live the good news of Jesus out in our lives, we put away all filthiness and wickedness intentionally. We move that aside, and what is natural in order to receive the word of God. We put those things away so that we can receive the word of God. And when we allow God's voice to speak into every situation of our lives, especially the difficult situations, it is able to save our souls. So if you're writing something down this morning, the first point is, why do we disciple? We disciple to, and the first point is, receive God's word. We disciple so that we can receive God's word. And in the spoken sense, in the way that we hear God's word, right? But also that we can receive the action that comes out of knowing God's word from others in our life. So that others in our life can receive the action that comes out of knowing God's word from our lives. And that we sharpen one another and we live together with one another. Discipleship is every bit as much about the follow-through and the living out God's word as it is the sitting down and the sharing the knowledge of God's word. This is what James is talking about. If we move further into verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You see, hearing and sharing the word, evangelism, and don't be mistaken, sharing is a form of doing, right? Once you hear God's word, sharing God's word with someone else is kind of that very first initial baby step to becoming a doer of the word. So hearing and sharing is a form, you know, sharing as a form of doing is evangelism, and those are extremely, extremely valuable, right? We spent an entire 2 sermons going over evangelism and how impactful that is and then why we do evangelism, right? But what James is challenging the churches that he's writing to, it's about inserting the gospel as the foundation of every single thing that you do. It's not necessarily about hearing a word or a message and keeping that compartmentalized in your life and then making sure that you mark off on your calendar a time that you can then go and share the good news. That is valuable. It's valuable to mark off times where you intentionally go out and evangelize, right, and share the word of God with others. But what James is challenging us to is this life of intentional decision making. It's this life of discipleship where we are sharing with one another the gospel, but we're also living the gospel with one another, and we're enduring through challenging times with the gospel with one another. It's about following through with action to not only share, but again, to live and endure for the gospel. Hearing the word and not doing the word would kind of be like throwing an alley-oop to no one, right? Have you ever seen a basketball game where someone's coming down the court and they kind of give the nod and you're like, oh, they're about to throw it up. And then they just kind of throw it three rows into the stands. And inevitably the team is like, what are you doing? What a waste. We had a possession. We had something valuable and it's our job to take it to the basket and score. And you just threw it out of bounds. There was miscommunication, right? You sent this alley-oop to no one. There was no dunk on the other side, or it might be a kicker running up to a football to kick it into the field goal and then just stopping and not following through. Or maybe a baseball player swinging his bat as hard as he can only to come to the ball and then just stop. When we hear God's word and we don't do God's word, it is an incomplete process. It is a waste of the most valuable thing that we will ever be given in our entire life. And that's James's challenge. He said it's not enough to just hear about God and know who God is, because if you know who God is, you should be living these things out in your life. He says if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, if you're not putting these things into action, how are you, one, to even truly understand what it actually means for your life? If you're not willing to put it into action, and two, how are you to even remember what is said if all you do is hear it and then you live your own life? And then you come back and you hear it and then you live your own life. Our country has made an entire institution out of having church on Sunday, and people come to church on Sunday and then they do their own thing Monday through Saturday and they come back on Sunday and they hear the word and then they go out and they don't do the word and then they come back on Sunday. And it's just this repetitive cultural thing. And guess what? It didn't start with our culture. It's always been a thing. There's always been this natural desire to do what pleases us and to go and hear God's word and be encouraged by it and say, man, wouldn't that be nice if people live that way? And then we go and we live our own way outside of the power of intentional decision making, outside of the power of discipleship, outside of what God has actually challenged us to do, which is to follow through with the process. God doesn't want us to be the person who throws an alley-oop 3 rows into the stands. He wants us to be the person that's willing to jump up and go get the ball and dunk it. He wants us to be the person that's willing to follow through with things even when it's difficult, especially when it's difficult, especially when it's challenging. And that's what discipleship is. It's following through in your life and in your actions with the message of the gospel. It's following through. A lot of times we think about discipleship as, hey, we're going to have this once a week meeting where we sit down for an hour and we're going to go over scripture and we're going to talk about what scripture means and we're going to learn more about Jesus in the process from an intellectual standpoint. And that is part of discipleship. It's an important part of discipleship. But the longer I live for Jesus, the more that I realize that discipleship is way more about action than it is about knowledge. Discipleship is way more about follow-through than it is about vision and scheming. Discipleship is way more about living life with one another in the gospel and enduring for the gospel, especially when it's challenging, than it is about anything else. Discipleship is how people come to know Jesus more and more. It's how people move from an initial decision to follow Jesus into a more mature relationship. Discipleship is the process in which someone pours themselves out into the life of someone else and challenges them to grow in their faith and in turn make disciples themselves. So if we want to be a church who is not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word, what that means for us is we have to make every single thing that we do about Jesus. We have to insert the gospel as the foundation of every single thing that we do. And as we're walking through life, when we're in our jobs or we're in our neighborhood or we're whatever we're doing, we're making sure that the gospel is the foundation and that we're injecting that truth into every decision that we make. And we're making these decisions intentionally because we want to become more like Jesus and we want the picture of our life to match the picture of God's plan for our lives. And we don't do that accidentally. We can only do that intentionally through the process of discipleship. Discipleship is how we become true doers of the word. It's my prayer, it's my desire that Connection Church, every one of us in here, will be true doers of the word. Because when we become true doers of the word, God is prepared to do incredible things beyond our wildest imagination. Think of how much he's blessed our church already. Think of how much he will be ready to bless our church even more if we're submitting everything that we have to Jesus. If we take everything that we have to him and we say, I'm ready to commit my life to a life of intentional decision-making and discipleship with one another where I pour out into my brothers and sisters in Christ and I allow them to pour out into me. I allow them to challenge me. I allow them to correct me. And I accept that correction and I try to make myself look more like you. Imagine what God will do. If you're writing something down, again, second point is we disciple to be doers of the word. We disciple to receive God's word, and we disciple to be doers of that word that we have received. If we actually take a step back in James chapter 1, going back toward the beginning in verse 2, James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You see, discipleship, because it's not natural, requires us to sacrifice. It requires us to look into the midst of testing and challenge and continue to hold fast to the word of God. To live out our faith with one another, holding our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ accountable to do the same. So that means when there's a challenge, we aren't distancing ourselves. We're drawing closer to God, and we do that through the accountability that discipleship provides. I'm sure many of you are familiar with, some of you may not be, a man named Francis Chan. He's a pretty popular Christian leader. He's written several books. He actually did a study that Haley and I went through several years ago. It was in partnership with the Bible app, and it was over James. And in that study, he talked to use this illustration about the way a blacksmith tests a sword. And the way that this happens, the blacksmith is testing a sword, which means he's putting it in the fire and he's pulling it out and he's hammering the sword and he puts it through a test and then he puts it back in the fire and he pulls it out and he forges the sword and he continually molds and forges and works on this sword. And the way that he knows it's completely forged is when he can pick the sword up and look at the blade and see his reflection in the blade of the sword. See, this is how the Lord knows that we are being made like him. When he can put us in the fire, and through discipleship, he pulls us out, and he hammers on us a little bit, he works on us, he forges us, and he picks us up and he looks at us and he says, you know what? We're not quite there yet. And he puts us back in the fire. And without discipleship, the temptation is to run. The temptation is to say, this is challenging. Our nature says, hey, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel right. I need to leave out of this situation. The healthiest thing for me to do is to not be challenged, to not be put through a trial. But see, James says we should count it a joy when we're going through the challenge and the trial. And we should let the faith be produced by steadfastness. And steadfastness should have its full effect. And in order for steadfastness to have its full effect, we have to remain in the challenge. And so we count it a joy in knowing that God is working on us. And through discipleship, we rally around our brothers and sisters in Christ and we allow them to encourage us. We allow them to platform us. We allow them to challenge us as well. And through that process, God will pick us up one day and say, hey, that's starting to look a little bit more like the picture of what I want their life to look like. Through intentionality and discipleship and challenging and accountability, they're becoming more like me. And while we will never be fully like God or fully like Jesus while we're here on earth, the idea is that we intentionally live our lives so that we can become as like him as possible while we are here on earth. So we disciple to receive God's word and the power of the message of God's word and its ability to save our souls. We disciple so that we can be doers of God's word. And finally, we disciple so that we can be more like Jesus. We disciple so that we can be more like Jesus, right? James says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That last part you could say, so that you may be more like Jesus. So again, we disciple to receive God's word. We disciple to be doers of the word. And we disciple to become more like Jesus. But we don't become more like Jesus by being solely hearers of the word, right? We become more like Jesus by being doers of the word, by engaging one another in discipleship. So as a church, let's be doers of the word. As a church, let's make intentional decisions to challenge one another and to see others grow in Jesus. Let's, as a church, help each other and our neighborhood become more like Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for just your goodness. God, for the sacrifice of your Son. Lord, for the example that you give us of many in Scripture, Lord, who have poured into one another, God, the wisdom that James writes in what is countercultural to us, what seems unnatural in staying in the midst of a challenge or a trial. God, I pray that as we as a church individually and as a whole choose to continue to cling to your word, to cling to one another, God, to trust and remain steadfast as our faith is tested. God, I pray that you would bless that. Lord, I pray that that would not be for no reason, God. Lord, we know that you are faithful, so help us to continue to be faithful to you. And Lord, as you build up this desire, Lord, this spiritual toughness in our heart and in our spirit, God, I pray that you would give us a desire to see others grow in that way as well. Lord, help us to not be an incomplete process of a church. God, help us to not just be hearers. Help us to be doers. God, help us to have a passion and desire for our neighborhood. God, help us to fall in love with others and lead them to your Son. God, give us a passion for discipleship. God, not just the once a week meeting discipleship, that's awesome, but God, give us a passion for intentional decision-making, God, enduring for the gospel, God, living the gospel out in our lives as we connect with others. And God, help us to challenge others to do the same. God, we know that you are ready and willing to pour yourself out and to do incredible things through our church. And Lord, you already have been doing incredible things through our church. God, I pray that as we are faithful to you and as you are faithful to us, that you would just bless this time that we have, Lord, that you would bless our ministry and that we would help to build your kingdom. God, we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.